Today is 10 years since Andries Tetane was killed by police using rubber bullets at a protest in the Ficksburg area. And Daniel Knutzer, who's investigative journalist and editor at Viewfinder, has written an op-ed on Daily, which you can find via the Daily Maverick. And Daniel, the sort of center point of your article is that 10 years on, people who shouldn't be shot dead by police are still being shot dead by police using rubber bullets.
Good afternoon, John, and to the listeners, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I would posit that it wasn't an opinion piece, but one that was rooted in IPED's data on the subject and an analysis thereof of the status quo from Tetane's death, separated by about 10 years, to Mthokozisi Mtumba being killed under very similar circumstances by rubber bullet shot at close range. And my argument, essentially looking at the evidence, is that there's been no substantive change in the circumstances which led to Tetane firstly being killed and secondly to his alleged assailants or the killers being acquitted in court and not being disciplined in disciplinary processes of the police themselves. This I put down to essentially two things. One is the anonymity that's afforded by riot gear that we see our public order police officers so often wear, the helmets, the visors. It means there's really no prospect for identifying perpetrators misusing rubber bullets. And the second is that rubber bullets themselves, or at least the rules governing the use of rubber bullets, do not expressly prohibit their use at close range, firstly. And secondly, there's a conflation of crowd dispersal with the use of rubber bullets, which means they're often being used indiscriminately during protest situations or crowd management operations, where both violent and potentially non-violent members of the crowd may be targeted, according to the National Instruction of 2014. And those two issues, I think, have been identified consistently by IPED investigators dealing with these cases as serious impediments to the prospect for accountability. And they've been essentially left unchecked since they had such a big role to play in that very dramatic killing that was captured on video and broadcast on the state broadcast, which is for all South Africans to see 10 years ago. And, of course, that's Andries Tetane's death.
And, I mean, the most recent death was associated with protests at Wits University by students, but the man killed, Mthokozisi Mtumba, was not a student. He was somebody coming out of a medical consultation. And police have subsequently said that both the police commissioner and the police minister have said that rubber bullets will not disappear as part of a suite of possible reactions from police, but that their use will be much more strictly controlled. But I guess one can say, sorry, we've heard that before.
Certainly. I mean, they said that when they were presenting the expert panel report on crowd management, which was commissioned after the Marikana Commission of Inquiry by the minister. And I think, there's a lot of platitudes around accountability for crowd management. What was also said at that presentation or press conference was that there's accountability, I quote, for all actions at all times in crowd management. And that statement was really
true.
Yeah, well, that statement was really what led me to this inquiry of isolating 1,157 IPED cases from the registers that IPED uses to log these cases and to look whether any of those individual cases have resulted in criminal or disciplinary convictions. We know that a disciplinary conviction isn't necessarily a benchmark for accountability because the sanctions are often so low, but that's a discussion for another day. What I found was in these 1,157 cases, there was not a single case of accountability of an officer being either criminally convicted or departmentally convicted for the misuse of rubber bullets as per the complaint descriptions that are captured in these data. And I think that speaks volumes in terms...
Did they find then, Daniel, that in each one of those 1,157 cases, the use of rubber bullets was justified by the officers using them?
Absolutely not. I mean, the various outcomes of those cases is subject to a whole other discussion around IPED's processes, its lack of capacity. I suspect in many of those cases, the issue of identification. Incidentally, on the issue of identification, rubber bullets can't be tested in this normal ballistic sense that we would use for live rounds and firearms. So if a rubber bullet ends up being lodged in somebody's body or killing somebody, it's almost impossible to link it to the particular member who fired that shot, which is, again, a huge impediment and a huge factor that make them open to abuse and non-accountability. And yes, there are these statements being made now around better standard operating procedures around them, and I think that should be welcomed. But it comes as little consolation, I think, for many, many people that have been very severely injured or people who have lost family members due to the indiscriminate use of rubber bullets in the last 10 years, when really these things should have been dealt with 10 years ago when Andries Tatane was so brutally and visibly killed in front of all South Africans via that video that we saw.
And would you also argue, as I'm instinctively tempted to do, that I want to take with a very, very large bucket of salt government's commitment to do this differently in the future?
John, I do this work because I'm optimistic that things can change, and that if we look at the evidence and if we engage with what we know, that the shortfalls in accountability and in the unchecked use of force really in the South African police service is, that we can first of all spur civil society, spur ordinary South Africans to demand more from their government, from the decision makers. And I think that that's what we should aspire to. I'd be loath to say that I'm completely cynical, although, you know, experience does say that one has to keep the pressure up in terms of both looking at the evidence and presenting it in a clear fashion and holding public officials to their words. And I think that's, again, what prompted me to do this inquiry.
And there we must leave it. Sorry to interrupt you. Daniel Knutzer, investigative journalist and editor at the Viewfinder News Service.